that one again and we can.
You want to read it again?
Yes. I didn't have that in my package.
Okay, and you weren't listening.
Well.
No, I don't. We got resolution 25-430, moved by Councilor Kekkonen. Second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the report of BIN-2025-18, request for proposal 2025-15, real estate services for the sale of municipal property from Carly Griffin, Clerk Administrator. And further, the Council awards the request for proposal 2025-15 to Landmax Realty Inc. with a commission rate of 3.5%. And further, that the Mayor and Clerk be authorized to execute all necessary documents to engage Landmax Realty Inc. in accordance with the Township's Sale of Real Property Bylaw 2011-24. So you want to defer?
Well, if there's a list of questions, if we're not, we're making some assumptions, like there was a mention that the 3.5% would be based on the commission
the
of
sale
the
price.
Sale. But we're assuming that's what it says, just
right.
to confirm that.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing we'd have to ask when we're going to ask questions is their experience in the area. Because it seems to be like that they're more for developing, they take a large piece of property for a developer to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that's exactly what the township's looking for in that particular location. I mean, Whitestone's just gone through. I don't know where it stands right now with that plant development they were proposing on Highway 124. If, for instance, there is a company out of Toronto, this is all an assumption, that sees a piece of property here, lakefront, prime for development, then, I mean, neighbors aren't even aware of what's going on in that particular location. So I'm just wondering, and again, how do we know, how are they going to actually evaluate it? I mean, they'll look at comparable, I suppose, just like other agents would. But it just doesn't seem to be their territory, I guess is what I'm getting at. But.
It seems to me from reading between the lines on what they presented that in part they have investors that they're looking for
right.
us to put the money
right.
as opposed to trying to sell property and get the money for us, right? Now, there is on, I know all the pages are unnumbered, but the page with the picture on it, I think it's the page before that. No, it's the same page. At the top of that, it says the commission 3.5% plus HST, forgot about the HST, for listing and cooperative brokerage for sale value, and then other services not resulting in a property listing, NA. So, I mean, I think it is traditional real estate, you know, pricing. The 3.5 is of the sale price, but... that's it for listing and cooperative brokerage. I don't know what cooperative brokerage is, but I think we're safe that way. And again, the final analysis, if we don't agree with the purchase price that they're proposing, then we don't agree and that's it. We don't have to pay them anything, I think.
And to make sure that that's...
Yeah.
How it is, what we're thinking it is, that's what it is.
Well, I mean,
that's
if you see it, it says other services not resulting in a property listing, although property sale perhaps, but it says NA, right?
One of the options we looked at, this is not only for this, but even the property down on, Fire 152, as it was formerly called, we were looking, going through a solicitor and getting some background information. Now, that's another cost for us, but I would think with something this important, and before signing a contract, maybe it should be investigated. Is this something we should be doing? I mean, we've taken the advice of a solicitor who's looking out of best interests, but maybe have them look over the document and see if it's the approach we should be taking. I'd feel a little more comfortable anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least we're not trapped into something that we didn't understand.
Right. And then this particular lawyer is familiar with property in this area and has worked for us in the past, and they're based out of Orillia, which is closer to us than Toronto.
So this is probably crazy, but so can't the township just post a notice saying that this piece of property is for sale?
Yes, but if you read the clerk's memo,
Yeah, I know.
It's not
it's
giving
chancy.
The best.
It's
chancy. Yeah. No. Maybe just to repeat that.
It's more
open and transparent.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't want somebody coming back to you saying, I didn't know that property was for sale. I wanted the chance to, you know, make an offer. It's more just about getting it more widely out there.
Yeah.
We can do all we can to post at the property and advertise, but ultimately we want it on like a multiple listing service like Realtor.ca.
So could we try putting it out again for
like the real estate?
Yeah.
We could potentially, maybe the local realtors don't want to because they know that there'd be a conflict of interest if they both represented us and the seller and the purchaser. So perhaps they have a local purchaser in mind that they are wanting to represent, so they didn't respond to this. That could be another possibility as to why locals didn't respond.
I would think the solicitor probably tell us that it's not wise to have the same agent do both, although it has been done.
So, do we feel confident that what we're going to be charged is the 3.5% on the final sale price? Because in the proposal form, at what rate will you calculate your commission, or what calculation will you use to determine cost of services rendered to the city? Commission 3.5% plus HSD for listing and cooperative brokerage for sale value. Whereas,
sounds like more than actual sale.
Whereas in our RFP sheet, it says that for bid evaluation purposes, the proposing commission rate, calculate the total commission based on the current assessed value of $253,000. This assessed value subject to change as the final sale price will be determined in consultation with the subject and subject to approval by council. So is the terminology clear here? Like, are they basing this 3.5% for listing and cooperative brokerage? So are they expecting the 3.5% on the 250,000? Because they don't say based on the final
sale price. I can send them a list of questions, that being one of them, to confirm and bring it to a future meeting.
Yeah, maybe you do that, because it might answer some questions. And then we can decide.
The other question was, and I haven't got a final answer on this one, is one of the things we investigate, and I'm not sure what the cost would be for the solicitor. Probably would be fairly expensive. I don't know what she charges, but to get a solicitor's opinion on their offer, because we seem to be having some concern about it, and this is public property. If we were to sell it privately, I mean, we could do whatever we wanted to. Representing the public. We want to make sure that we're doing it properly and that this is the best route to go. It's always frightening when you just get one application, a response to the RFP, and they're not even in this area.
I think we need clarity, because even as you mentioned here in point four, the letter they submitted, where it says outline the process for selling properties, review property usage and determine with university is this continues to meet the need of the area. So I think just for clarification purposes, so everyone's on the same page, just particularly based on when the actual sale price is in the, when the transaction takes place, or is this based on, because it even mentions here, she's gonna consult with the township to see if the listing price is what we agreed to. So it's good just to know that it's gonna be that we're gonna be charged after the sale has taken place, and the commission 3.5% is based on what we actually
Sold it for, not what it was listed for.
Yeah.
We're still going.
Well,
do we go to the lawyers?
I'm working on a deferral. I just wanted that clarified. That's all. I'm quite agreeable to the majority of council what they want to do as far as contacting a solicitor.
It's just.
It's a unique situation for us, and that's why I want to make sure that we do it correctly.
I wonder what she would charge for that. And how long before she could do it.
She's fairly good at responding, I think, time-wise.
Yeah, I don't think time's the...
No,
because
she was pretty
issue.
Backlogged there for a while.
Yeah, no, she's much better now. I deal with her.
Okay.
She sends things back the same day for me
okay.
right now, so... So for clarity, council wants a solicitor to review the proposal submitted by the real estate brokerage.
Yeah,
that's
at
what
this
I'm
stage.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I saw a head nod, but that's
yeah.
not that's not being recorded. We don't have the camera, so we need an actual. Yes, we're okay to talk to that solicitor.
There is lots of information in here, but it's not succinct, I guess would be the best word anyhow. There's a lot of stuff here, and it makes me uneasy, so...
So was this RFP form of tenders, where is this taken from? Or
I created it just because there isn't many like that out there.
So I'll put the question out for deferral. Reference to the solicitor. Call the question. All those in favor?
Deferral.
Deferral. Yes. With the rider.
I'm still concerned that 3 of the months we're talking about here will be definitely snow covered and much more difficult. Anyway.
Well, if it doesn't sell, and the 3.5 is based on the sale price, it don't matter, right? All road is the lawyer.
Yeah.
But then we have that for future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I'm struggling with now with our procedural bylaw, once a motion's passed, we're not
we're
supposed
talking.
To talk about it.
Okay.
Well, I'll defer it even, I guess.
See, Nick, you made me open my mouth.
Sorry.
On to 17.2. Resolution 25-431, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the accounts table preliminary check run report for September 2025 from Roshan Kentio, Treasurer, for information purposes. Discussion?
I have one.
Go ahead, Councilor Zulak.
On page 3, Carly, would you know, on page 3, 218, battery for Freightliner, $1,052.
I'll have to ask the public works superintendent. I'm not sure about that one.
That's an expensive battery.
Mm-hmm.
three as well for a week's construction. This is, I think, an endemic issue that we always have, or at least that I always have, is looking at the monies that we've spent and then trying to figure out the right-hand columns, which either are the budget or the year-to-date balance. Frankly, it doesn't make any sense to me at all, but I know it's a software issue primarily, but it's unnerving anyhow. So.
Well, it's no comfort to you, I know, but I've looked at other townships too. They've eliminated the last two columns. I know it's better for us to know what it was budgeted for and how much we've spent to date, but because it's messed up each time, we'll just go with the actual figures, I guess, and leave it to Roshan to tell us if we're over budget. I know what you're saying, but it's until we get that software, it's going to keep coming. I think it's getting better, but still hard to decipher, as you said.
Yeah. Agreed.
Page 14, the bottom, call it geomatics. Geomatics, I guess. Harry Street surveying. I'm just wondering there, I see the stakes are in presently, and I see that some ditching has been done on township property, I hope. What do we do in the situation now that the stakes are in and there's private property on township property, according to the way the stakes are? Do we leave that alone, or are we liable now for what could happen because that's on township property? I'm speaking specifically of the huge boulders. There's a portion of them, according if the stakes are correct, that are on municipal property now, on Harriet Street. Is that a concern to council? I know before we've looked at people using municipal property. Like, for instance, we've discovered a couple of wells that are on municipal property. I think that's leaving the township open. If something does happen and we know about it, that it's a liability. In this particular case, if, for instance, you get a situation where in winter or whenever, those large boulders, and they're quite huge, brought in by machine, I would assume, if somebody runs into those, the point where they're going to be contact will be those that are on municipal property. Even the plows, what happens now? You know, we had the situation where the hydro pole went down in Market Square, or not the town square, and that was a township piece of equipment, I guess, that took the pole down. If the plow comes down there and hits those boulders, pushing the snow back, is that a concern too? Especially if equipment's damaged or if the private property is damaged. Because those rocks, of course, it was just the tip that's sticking out, there's still more in behind. Are we leaving ourselves open, or should something be done now according to the actual survey stakes to ensure that the township property is clear of any private property being used? Just a question.
Didn't we have once before where people, a taxpayer had a lot of stuff on the township property?
Yes.
And we had to actually get them to remove them, or we removed it?
Yeah, it's now encroaching again.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is, one that coming to mind, when we put in the parking lot down on Henry Street.
Yeah, okay.
And that Mary Street actually carries right down through to Henry Street, although it was never opened up. It's still a township road. And I know people had purchased a number of the lots that led up to that, but they couldn't purchase the road because that was never stopped up and closed.
Mm.
And that's where we put the parking lot. And people were concerned, especially nearby property owners, of the equipment that was on that road allowance. We call it a road allowance, it's actual road, it just never opened. And that, as I say, you look down there now, there's equipment sitting on it. So.
Well, I'm just thinking of the one on West Road.
Which one?
On West Road.
Oh yes, that's right, and that had to be moved. Yeah, that was not too far in on the left hand side. The thing is, until it actually surfaces, it's not something that you're probably going to catch until you do a survey. And so it may be happening in a number of places. But these are ones that we're aware of now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what council advice is.
I don't know, because I even know on Lakeshore Road there is a piece of property that is the township's just before you go up the hill. And the individual has more or less taken that piece over. So, like, for how many years, and then is it basically you can't do nothing after so many years? Because that's been a long time that piece of property's been saying, oh, cut the grass, cut the grass, cut the grass.
Yeah, well, you'd have to get a solicitor's opinion on that, I guess. I'm not sure about squatters' rights anymore, whether they're.
I don't know. But like you say, there's probably a lot of pieces of property that are like that.
And the troubling part is that the individuals, yes, they do this knowing full well that it's not their property. And then over time, other public, they're not aware. They think it is that person's property. So they stay away from it too, and yet it could be used. So, Councilor Kekkonen, you had a question?
No, I don't think that anything that's registered in the current land titles, according to the Land Titles Act, is open to squatters' rights. That was in the previous where the land was registered. So, yeah,
I don't know, but I know if you have a fence, like say, okay, a cattle fence, right, going through, and it's like 10 feet off of your property, but it's been there for how many? 50, 60 years, they can't make you move it.
Yeah, I think we need a legal opinion on that because I think, I think legal opinion because anything that's registered, that's been surveyed in a certain amount of years, that's now under the Ontario Land Titles Act, is not open for squatters' rights. And anyways, I think a legal opinion would, there's no way that, because that's already, anyways, with these roadways, that's already on title to the municipality, isn't it?
Yes, now the village streets were always confusing. Because even our road superintendent in the past wasn't sure. That's why the survey is so important. He was going to look at hard topping the village streets, and then that would include an actual survey of all the streets to make sure, because you know how far it extends. It's interesting looking back at the old minutes at the council of the day. This is back in the 1800s, I think. They weren't even sure with the cemetery in behind the church. They weren't sure. They had to get a solicitor's opinion whether they actually owned that. The road now that extends up Louisa Street and around Armstrong and around the cemetery. So they had to make sure that it was in the township name and that they could do, you know, treat that accordingly and plow it and look after it. So that the hard top was never done because of the extra costs that would be involved. And you mentioned, township property. If you look down Lakeshore, what we did there, of course, and the stakes were put in for a period of time. And in many cases, the township property went halfway up in people's lines.
Yeah.
And they've done things below that line, township property. So what do you do? And we talked about with the dockage all along there, too. That's all on attached to township property. But even our solicitor had suggested staying away from that. So like an agreement that you would have with them. But
this whole thing with the boulders would have never even...
It wouldn't have
surfaced if it wasn't
right.
Complaint driven.
Right.
Like everything that is complaint driven.
Yeah. So again, I think it's important that we see this here, and it's difficult to put Carly in that situation where she has to, well, she can certainly research and talk to Public Works Superintendent, but it'd be nice to have him here at a meeting and to ask some of these questions and try to get report, rather than just having a report, that every so often anyway, that be at a meeting, and the same with the treasurer, so that Carly doesn't have to be the go-between all the time.
It's part of my job.
Well,
yeah,
I know,
but sometimes it's good to, you can just ask, right? And they can give you an answer, and then it's done.
Yeah, I think staff also like to be prepared as well when they're coming into council meetings. So if council has specific questions that they're wanting me to ask department heads, like, I can take them down and we can come back to them as well. They may not have the answer off the top of their head if they're attending a meeting, so I think they appreciate just some time to research it and provide a good
they can
response.
They can always say, I'll check it out and get back to you, right?
Yeah.
I think it's good if they were here at least once a month. Or once every 2 months. You know what I mean? I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I think it would be good. Because lots of times when somebody, a staff or something, comes, and then we go to what is, you know, on our agenda for them, and then after they leave, we end up having another question, like, oh, we should ask them that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea if they come, really. It's not like we're going to shoot them. I think, are we not intimidating?
On that same vein, I guess on page 16, the line striping. I noticed on certain roads, I haven't traveled all the roads yet, so I'm not sure. We'd asked for that before, I'm just not sure if it got through to him. In his report, he does specify that they're on the arterial roads, on the corners and straight stretches, but it'd just be nice to know the actual locations. I think we'd asked for that before too, so that, and I don't imagine any roads were missed, but I don't want a situation where, you know, as we found with the grass mowing along the sides of the roads, that Lakeshore was missed. And I don't think, and that was, 2 months, and I don't think it's been done yet. So I'd just like to know which roads, we haven't seen the contract with this particular company, maybe it's not for us to see, but to know which roads were done. And we have talked about it, and he does mention in his report, if you want the line to be continuous, then you have a budget for that. And I know we've had that discussion before as well. There are stretches of the road where it doesn't exist. Should that line continue right through, even though it's a straight stretch, and join the two hills or the corners or whatever? I noticed that especially on our roads, which sometimes look fairly narrow, that it is a guiding point for people to stay on the one side. Whereas if it doesn't exist, then it's just sort of guesswork. Now, we'll have to talk about budget time, whether we do a continuous line, but I think it's something to consider.
Well, particularly when we're advised by the public works superintendent that there may be liability issues once you start actually painting roads. So if you have inconsistent painting of lines on roads, is that increase our liability? Or one section of road has an abundance of lines on the sides and the center, and then the next stretch has almost no lines. So how does the concern about liability, let's see what the Ontario Traffic Manual, let's have a report based on what the documentation says on where and how lines should be painted.
Yeah. Now, he does mention in his report, I think, that there's a course coming up, I don't know whether it's online, but he'd be interested in taking that one, so I think that's a good idea, too, that if you can't investigate further that way, I think it's good. On page 18, this is a Michael Enterprise Audio and Visual. I assume this is the company that put in the equipment in the hall.
Yes.
Repairs for projector, replace batteries, community hall. Is there any background on that? What happened? The projector stopped working?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now. The projector wasn't working, so they had Michaels come in, and then they more or less did a full maintenance on it. So everything's working currently right now, and we won't need them back for a while. But that was just to fix a problem and then also do routine maintenance.
Okay, that's good, because I thought we'd lost contact with them. It's good that they're back. the other question we had quite a while back, who knows how to operate that equipment?
Mm.
And then if somebody rents that, can they operate the equipment on their own, or do we need somebody from staff to set it up for them? Because I think they have operated at different community groups.
Yeah, but like some members of the recreation committee were trained. But the thing is, it's a complex system, and if you're not using it all the time, you more or less forget. So Mary and myself have both used the system. If I was to have to set it up right now, I think I would struggle. I don't know how familiar Mary is now without using it more frequently, but maybe perhaps we could have some instructions written out and posted on the stage.
Well, there's that question, of course, and I know it was a grant situation, but was Councilor Keckner, you were around, I think, $100,000?
Yeah.
For the equipment?
Yeah.
And it's I don't know, the Cadillac equipment for this area. I'm not even sure where you, well, we used it for movie night, I guess.
Yes.
But, you know, and that's what I wonder too, if we're having trouble with some of this hookup sometimes, our meetings used to be in the community center, and if it's such high-end equipment, should we be using it more often, then we would be familiar with it. I just wonder, you know, but having all of that money tied up there and it's really not being used, and if it is down some of the time, that's not good either. And should the public, that's the other big question, should the public, even with a list of instructions, be operating it? I think that happened with our dishwasher, didn't it? People were not using it correctly, people who rented it, and then we had to replace different parts of it. So should the public come in and just expect to read a list of instructions and operate that expensive equipment? And I know we can't keep somebody on staff to just go in there for every function and set it up, but I'm just trying to look at what we have available and is it being used to its full extent. But,
yeah. So maybe for our fees and charges for the community center, that's an option. For the audiovisual equipment, if they would like that it would come with a cost of a staff member to set it up and to operate it.
That's an idea. It's usually on a weekend though, so.
So like custodian or someone else that knows how to, that would be trained on how to operate it?
I learned how to use it because the rec committee was doing it. My wife's on the rec committee and therefore he said, well, you have to figure that out. And there's three or four people, I can name them, but that I learned, trial and error, basically. But I mean,
ooh, that's scary.
Sorry?
Trial and error is scary.
Well, but I mean, the worst case scenario, that doesn't come on or you can't lower the screen or something like that, but it isn't particularly difficult. If I had to do it now, because I haven't done it for 4 or 5 months at least, yeah, I would struggle a bit, but I mean, with the others that I know that do know how to use it, collectively, I'm sure we could figure it out. And in the past, that's what we did. And truthfully, there's really, really only about three or four functions that you need to know, and it's pretty straightforward once you've got it. But again, if you aren't doing it regularly, to go to Carly's point, yeah, it becomes more difficult. And again, from experience, when we got stuck, I phoned Mary. And she could troubleshoot on the phone that at least we could get through and get a movie working.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you're right, it is extremely expensive equipment and it's not something that I think we should be too casual about, but we could write out instructions and post them. And, you know, especially once we confirm that they actually worked. And I don't think any of that's overly difficult. And I've got, again, three contacts that I know from the rec committee that would come and help us document what the procedure is. So,
well, that's why I thought, this is years ago now, I suggested this company come up and do a training session.
Sure.
Representative. I mean, to me, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
But and have the various community members involved, too, different groups. And
sure.
As you say, they wouldn't be using it all the time, but at least they'd be instructed.
I think we passed the resolution in that regard, didn't we? Something similar to that?
Yes, it was one. Previous council.
And if they're coming up again, well, maybe we should consider that, arranging a training session with this with this company.
Sure.
From Barrie, for anyone that's interested. And as well, I know that someone who is very well versed in audiovisual was helping with some function, and this was prior to whenever this Michael Enterprises came. and looked at it and was questioning how some of it was set up. So then that person could be there and ask, you know, to maybe ask why certain things are set up a certain way when that's not how they would expect something of that kind of system to be set up that
mm-hmm.
way. So
yeah, you're always questioned, I guess,
mm-hmm.
why it's set up that way. Is the company set it up so that only they can actually operate it correctly? The other thing was, I mean, it's not just the equipment that's self-sitting there. One function we were at, there was a computer engineer and electrical engineer couldn't get it working. And the reason being, downstairs, it was all shut down in the room. And the only way was Mary going down the next day and discovering that it was all shut off for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing you could do up above. And then once you get down into the room downstairs, is that accessible to everybody or should it be?
Yeah.
So that's the question part. And then we do rely on, I just don't want a situation, I guess, where we have one staff member who is aware and then the rest, if that staff member is away or whatever happens.
But again, I think you can at least mediate that, or not mediate it, you can minimize that by just having written instructions that have been proven and agreed and that actually work. And I think it's easier to make it more difficult than it is, at least from personal experience, right? And I got thrown into it because the other fellows that normally do it weren't going to be there for 1 week, and it was like, okay, I guess I'll go figure it out. And I called them, they came in and showed me, and it really wasn't hard. So,
yeah, no, I agree, but the dishwasher that I used as an example,
yeah.
and that wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
There are written instructions there.
Yeah.
Still didn't work.
Okay.
Somebody did something.
Well, like you say, that's an expensive piece of equipment in there, so.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we want to mention the price. The price that I've heard is $100,000.
Yeah.
I didn't mention
it. Just said
yeah,
that.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to that part. But, or at least couldn't hear that part, whichever you want. But.
Well, we can work on that. We'll do that part as far as getting somebody up maybe to do a training session.
Sure. I have a question.
Oh, okay.
So back to that Freightliner, Carly. What is with that truck? Because it's $1,000 for the battery, and over here on page 10, it's $1,600 for repairs, and over here another page on page 21 is $519. So it would be nice if. Tom was here, so can we somehow arrange maybe have, even if we had the treasurer come one meeting and then Tom come another meeting so that you're not always, you know, they're not one behind the other, maybe?
Yeah, and I'll definitely ask Tom about the repairs to truck 20. He has mentioned it's been in the shop for a bit, but I just didn't ask details,
mm-hmm.
but I can get that one for you.
If that's the same truck, yeah. If that's the same truck, I don't know, because it's got... What is that? It says Freightliner 20, and then it's got Freightliner 19. Are those different trucks? Freightliner 21?
Yeah.
So they're all Freightliners?
Yes, they're all Freightliners, but they're three different vehicles.
Okay, I was thinking it was the same one.
But you're still questioning the battery stands on truck 20.
Yeah. And so will you work that out then so that we have at least once a month one of the, you know, the... treasurer maybe come once a month, or and then the next time have the roads.
Yes, I can talk to staff. I think it would be proactive if council had corresponding items on the agenda that they can speak to as well.
If we get the agenda right, then we can look through it. But
mm-hmm.
Well, what we did before, we did make a list
for
the public works superintendent, director of operations, when he came, so he knew exactly what items we were going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
They were checked off.
Yeah.
And we stuck to that as much as we could. We didn't want to go off on other questions. And that's a concern, I guess, that the public has free for all then with any questions that he's not prepared for. So there was an itemized list, and that can be prepared again so we can stay on topic. And that can be provided a week before, so or more if it's needed.
So just one more question. Have they ordered, or is someone purchasing the battery for the audio-visual Or sorry, for the portable audio system?
Yes, the public works superintendent had to go into town to special order it, so they are researching it, and if they can't get it at the one store that he started with, they'll go to another. But he is actively putting an order in. Like, the vendor knows about it.
Okay, thank you.
It's just a special order.
And just a quick question on page 22, reference to the monthly toilet rental at the community hall. I guess the question is it going to stay? Or is it there? Maybe it's gone. I don't know. But is it to be used anymore this year?
No, they will be leaving shortly. So the one at the transfer station will stay.
Right.
And then the ones at Minerva Park and the other parks and the community center will leave, likely after the Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions on the accounts? All the question, all those in favor? Remember the resolution? Sure. Mm-hmm. Not opposed to that. On to 17.3. Resolution 25-432, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives report admin-2025-17, circular materials notice from Depot Agreement and Carly Breton, Clerk Administrator. Further, the Council authorizes the Mayor and Clerk to execute change order number 1 to the Depot Operations Agreement number 2024-00-120. Before I open for discussion, maybe Carly's got some background.
Yeah, and I'm just going to start this by asking for council to defer this motion. Things change very quickly, so after writing this report, we had an Ontario Municipal Working Group meeting on October 2nd, where CM announced that small IC&I will be included in the change order with a calculation amount. So I reached out to them on October 2nd to amend the change order. I haven't received the amended change order yet, so that's why the reason for deferral. I've also contacted RLG and Ontario to notify them that the township will repurpose the compactor bins currently used for recycling and use them for household garbage starting January 1. So that's forcing these companies to place and maintain their own bins at no cost to the township. If these companies were to use our current compactors to continue using them for recycling, the township would be hooked for the expenses incurred. I am working with them as well on rental rates if they aren't able to place bins, because the entire province is changing to post-transition, so bins may be not as available. So we definitely need to have some sort of compensation for compactor bins because the township owns them, and Amterra will be using them, and the materials going in them are not the property of the township anymore. So then getting back to the change order, there was 3 changes to this agreement. So the first one is different now since that working group meeting, and it was to say that non-eligible materials, so recycling coming from commercial businesses, places of worship, schools, campgrounds, and this municipal building, will no longer be able to be co-mingled with the residential blue box material. That is now since changed. We will be able to co-mingle it's called IC&I, with the residential waste, but in our change order agreement, they're going to have a calculation for that, but with the number of IC&I in McKellar, we will likely not reach that, so all of our waste will just continue as is. There won't be any changes for the public depositing it at the transfer station, which is a huge benefit. Secondly, the compensation rates have changed. I've been working with Circular Materials for a very long time on this because I don't feel that they are fairly compensating us, but the highest I can get them to come is $1,550 per month, and that's down from what we're currently getting paid monthly is $2,201. The third item that's in the change order is the term. So it's a 3-year term, so 3 1-year extensions, resulting in a 3-year term. So again, just wanting council to defer this because of the results of that municipal working group meeting. But if you have any questions, we can go through them now. Just wanting to make note for ratepayers, municipal recycling in Ontario it's going to be similar, so it doesn't matter what part of the province you're in, everyone will be recycling the same moving forward on January 1. Circular materials will be posting through news ads, commercials, social media to kind of let the public know about this change. There will be some additions to items that you can recycle, such as non-toxic aerosol cans, so like deodorant or whipped cream. Those cans were not recyclable before, and now they will be, so that's on them to put out all that information. The township will be given a website, so it'll be www.circularmaterials.ca/McKellar, which our ratepayers can go and see where our depot is, the hours, and also see what recycling is accepted. If anyone had recycling-related inquiries, it's no longer the township you would be speaking to. It's MTERRA and RLG, and then if it had to be further escalated, it would be Circular Materials. So there are some changes moving forward starting January 1. It feels like this is very rushed, and that's what a lot of the other municipalities are saying to the government and Circular Materials, but they have not changed the transition date, so we are still with that, working with that January 1 date.
Very confusing. Mm-hmm. Not only to staff, but to the public, I can't imagine. What's accepted, what isn't here, the recycling, and the bins concerns me. But when those were purchased years ago, there was an actual grant for it, so I don't know how that works for the those bins that were the compactors. And now that we're stuck with the question, I guess, whether we keep it in township ownership and rent it to them if they can't put in their own bins. And so I don't know. I mean, how secure it would be if they put their own bins in and they filled up and they didn't have it changed as often as if it's taken out of township's hands. That concerns me a bit too. So what's our transfer station attendant do? He's calling in when they're supposed to be picked up or emptied, and if the people don't show up, then usually the recyclables end up in the regular garbage. So I see this as a provincial concern, certainly, and we're being paid less. It's just that the whole thing is, it seems to be confusing. As you say, everybody's going to be on the same playing field, I guess, at some point. But that's a great expense, our transfer station. And I think the public should be made aware of what we're trying to do with that and trying to keep it viable, considering its history, that when we first had the actual dump and it was closed, there was no transfer station in sight. We were to ship all the garbage down to Michigan. And even now I hear in the news that Michigan is getting fed up with the amount of material coming from Ontario, so I don't know where that's going. But we did get a transfer station, thank goodness, and got it expanded a little bit from the footprint. But now we seem to be losing more and more control over what happens to it. And for the public, if they have a complaint, it's not so much the office now. They're going to be shoved to another company and then maybe to the Circular Materials at some point, but it's going to make it very difficult. We're the ones in charge of how it's working, but I guess we have trouble making any changes. I don't know. As you say, it's very confusing, and the whole idea of what's to be recycled. And some people took the trip, I guess, over to Bracebridge. Whether that's still happening with this company, is it? Whether that's where the recyclables are going, or.
Yeah, it's confusing. Waste Connections isn't our receiving facility anymore. It's MTERRA. But MTERRA is contracting out Waste Connections for this area. So technically, Waste Connections will still be in the picture, but they're a contractor now of MTERRA.
Hmm. Other comments, questions? Sounds like a deferral. Yes. Councilor Keckner?
Yeah, I think that's a deferral. But, I think we need to review our certificate of approval to see how the language in that is written. Because if, I guess it's MTERRA, if they're not, they can establish their recycling depot wherever they choose, right? So if it's so confusing for, like, I'm just, are there other options? You know, because we need to, like with the recycling bins themselves, like, you know, it says we have two options, we can rent them or they can purchase them. Well, how, you know, what does the certificate of approval say? There have to, the certificate of approval would have to change because the township is the owner of the facility and all the equipment at the facility. So if there's going to be a second owner of the recycling compactors, well, I think the certificate of approval needs to change.
And do you really want MOE in on this?
Well, you know, what they were like 20 years ago with all these organizations like the MNRF,
right.
They've really changed over the last 20 years because they are so short-staffed.
Yeah, we might hear from them in 5 years if we ask them.
Well, yeah, so... Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of questions here for sure.
Okay, well, Carrie's doing her best to get some answers, I guess. Fighting with the other townships and try to get something that is that the public can understand, that's financially viable. That's a concern, I think, that you know, costs might be escalating, but. So we'll put it out to question then for deferral. All those in favor of deferring? Okay, so that deferral is carried in a sense. None opposed. On to 17.4. We have resolution 25-433, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the memo for the Good Roads 2025 conference from Thomas Stoneman, Public Works Superintendent, for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Zulak.
I'm just wondering, should I be concerned with this report in his sixth paragraph? Well, shouldn't I, you know, that sort of made my...
Explain your concern.
Well, where he says, I also spoke with representatives for Fowler Construction, informing them about an upcoming tender for the Hurdville Road project, acknowledging their previous high pricing for Center Road in 2024. They promised to adjust their proposal, which paid off as they won the 2025 paving contract for Hurdville. I just, that just sort of sends up a flag for me.
Yeah, I admit that's a poorly written paragraph, but there wasn't any favoritism or whatnot posted in that. Their public tender is open to the public. They saw the award amounts and all the amounts that were submitted as bids, and I think it was just a casual conversation to say, you know, like, we bid high, we'll do our best next time. Maybe the last comment probably shouldn't have been put in, but... As a result, they did come in the lowest, but I think sometimes those conversations are need to be had with the local vendors, just because they're wanting, you know, their business, they're wanting to get their best price, but at sometimes it's costing us money.
I'm just thinking, I know, like, on council, when I'm trying to think, a job position is coming up, like, we were always sort of, you don't go and say, hey, you know, this is coming up, you should apply for it, because that's
right,
not right. And that's sort of, to me, it just gave me a flag, and I just was wondering if it bothered anybody else. That's all.
Well, and two, like, I am the contact of the municipality that invites to tender, so the public works superintendent, that isn't his role, so I formally invited Fowler.
Yeah. No. And there's only a few.
Yeah, it could have been written a bit differently.
Yeah, but yeah, just, that's all.
First of all, I'm thankful we got this. We mentioned it,
yeah.
And it arrived, which is good. I would like to have seen a little more detail about the actual courses or the seminars, workshops that were put on, because I can't remember the agenda, what was on there. And we're always looking for is that it's something practical perhaps that he can bring back to the township and put into practice if possible. Although with these conferences, it's not always possible. A lot of it is theory, isn't it? So it would have been nice just to know a little more about the actual sessions he attended. But I think overall, this is a step in the right direction, explaining about the conference. And we've had, well, Carly has written them before, and Roshan was on a conference. We haven't heard much about that one. But even if he did explain it to us, what the treasurer is talking about, I'm not sure we would understand it. But I think that's useful to have them, especially with these, because we're always trying to determine, is it worthwhile for the township to send a representative to these conferences? And this is certainly a positive response.
If I can say, I know for years we never sent anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, yeah. Never mind because, but we never sent anybody, yeah.
Any further discussion on that? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution, this is 17.5 item. Resolution 25-434, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives report PW-2025-09, Public Works Updates from Thomas Stoneman, Public Works Superintendent, for information purposes. Discussion?
Can I just add?
Sure.
Just so the public is aware, since writing this report, dates have changed. So the paving on Herville Road will start on Tuesday, October 14th, not the 8th, which was mentioned in this report.
That's good. And that was beyond the township's control. That was determined by the contractor. Yeah. We still need to see the deadline that was set. I know the public would like it done sooner, probably, but. Councilor Zulai?
The very last one, 2026 capital budget, where it's saying, and a roof replacement over council chambers and library. So when we did the roof, it was just the front?
Yeah, the majority of the roof is shingles, and then the portion over the council chambers and the library is a flat tar roof.
Something.
I believe it's different.
Yeah.
So the contractor didn't do it. I had them quote at the time they were here, and it was $42,000, and that was a couple years ago, so I'm assuming we're probably around 50 plus now. But we'll get quotes, well, we'll tender it, but I think we're around that ballpark.
And do you know, Carly, do we still have money in the
community center reserve? $98,000.
Okay.
And it may be significant. I think Councillor Kekkonen mentioned it before. It sits right over our heads here. So maybe we should be moving to the community center for our meetings. If anything gave out. Speaking of the capital budget, I'll just throw this off. It's sort of related to it. Are we looking at a budget meeting this fall sometime? I know you have to talk to the treasurer, but.
I don't think the treasurer was planning on having one, but if council is wanting to have one this fall, I can communicate that to him.
I think we should, like we did last year for capital projects at least. Because I think what's happening is, like, council was asked for suggestions for capital projects and grant proposals, and some have already gone in, which is good, being proactive. But I think council may have some ideas too to put in there in the budget situation. And I think it would be good to have something in the fall, even though we don't pass them until the spring. Least have an idea where we're going, because a number of things here, like even the public works superintendent has mentioned different projects.
Mm.
Especially if they're on the 2026 budget, I think council should be part of that discussion rather than just saying this is what we're doing in 2026. Then any department, I think, has to submit their projects, what they'd like to see, and then we decide whether, you know, that's financially viable. So I think something this fall would be useful, but I'm not sure Roshan's time.
And that would just be capital budget?
I think just capital. Operational doesn't change an awful lot unless there's something major coming, like circuit of materials or something. The Hardy's Road Engineering, again, this is something that he went out to look at on his own. Tullock Engineering is nearing completion of gives the companies more time to put it into their list rather than wait until the spring or summer of next year and finding out that they're too busy to do it.
The public works superintendent was wanting to do some of the work this year and with township staff. Perhaps we would put out a tender for blasting this fall, but he's wanting to do digouts and culvert changes internally to help save costs, and it's a smaller project, so he feels that the department can handle it.
Okay, so there wouldn't be a tender for, except for the blasting, is it?
Yes, and we've had blasting tenders previously done by the engineers, so between myself and the public works superintendent, I think we could create a blasting tender and do that in-house and not have to retain a firm.
So has he seen what Tullock has come up with? If it's complicated, it worries me a little bit. But
he's done site visits with Tullock. They haven't completed their engineering yet, so we haven't seen the final detail of the scope as to what the reconstruction would look like. But preliminarily now, he's just thinking that we can likely take on the blasting and the culverts.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I think that's what happened last time and why it deteriorated that section. Wasn't engineered, I don't think. They just went ahead and did something to it.
Right. So the engineering report will let them know what culverts need to replace, where the digouts need to be done. So they're still sticking to the engineer's design. It's just we're doing part of it internally and not contracting it out.
And then that'll be hard surface too. It's a tar and chip, I guess.
Yes, that's what he's recommending.
So that would have to be tendered.
Correct.
I'm just trying to get it coordinated so that I guess he doesn't know how much he can get done this fall.
And they have a big culvert change this week at Dog Lake, so they're just kind of determining how long that's going to take and then how long this nice weather is going to last.
Okay, I don't know. Is council okay with that? The township staff do the pretty well do Hardy's Road, I guess. That sounds good.
Well,
the section from, I guess, from Herdville in through to Lindsay Lane.
So an engineering firm is doing the engineering for the road, and would they be overseeing the project as well?
Good question.
Not likely.
I think they should.
Yeah, but not likely.
That could be an option, though. They could see the work of the Public Works Department. And then the only things we would need to contract out would be blasting, pulverizing, and then the surface.
I think it's good, like you say, to have the engineers look at it, because we've run into with these, well, not only Hardy's or Herdville Road, but also in the subdivisions. The drainage in particular is a concern, and I'm not sure along there whether that might probably be part of the study, but if, for instance, we have to have easements anywhere along there with properties, I mean, that's another concern. I'm not sure township wants to do all that without an engineer's stamp.
And that will be identified in the engineering, so if there is easements that need to be taken place, we'll contract that out. But I believe right now they're just looking at ditching and not requiring any drainage easements. But again, the engineering's not complete, so we'll have a better picture of that in the next few weeks.
Okay.
So they're going to do ditching in the culverts, right?
Right.
Ditching in the culverts. So what about the road and the grade on the road and all that? Like, they'll have to have a, you know, what?
Yeah, if the engineers oversee the project.
Who will do that?
If the engineers overseeing the project, then if the township staff is laying down gravel, then they can ensure that the gradients are correct.
So they're going to be there measuring the grade and everything?
They
the
can
engineers?
Be, yes. Yep.
So I don't understand something like that, because that's important. Like, you know, for the runoff, I can see the ditches and the culverts and everything, but not for, like, the grade and stuff like that, unless they're, it's not something that they do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
no,
we've had so much trouble with our roads being done, you know, by, not saying that our township staff is not good, but you have people that are professional and do this stuff all the time, and they know the grade and everything else, so I don't know.
Well, we could contract out the gravel as well, so then the staff are only doing culverts and digouts and ditching.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I would be more happy with them doing the culverts and the ditching. So I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I know you got to have a certain slope on the road for the runoff and everything.
I just think that we're always going to run into a time crunch with staff taking on extra projects like this, that if contractors who have enough staff and equipment that they can get a job done in, you know, a shorter amount of time than staff pecking away at it a little bit at a time. We're already almost halfway through October here. You know, generally first week of November you start getting your first snow, so realistically, what will they get done this fall? Big culvert change here on Dog Lake this coming week.
Yeah.
And so anyways, it's, I think we need to have a comparison of what a contractor would, their timelines and costs, and a comparison to what the township staff's timelines and costs would be.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough, and the quite often if the staff does it, we don't have the equipment either. We have to hire an excavator.
Yeah.
And,
it's not cheap.
No, so cost comparison would be good, I think. Like, there's a markup, certainly, with contractors, but be nice to know. And as you say, to actually get the project completed and to a quality that's going to last for as long as they last, I guess, those roads. But tar and chip concerns me because of what we've had in the last past few years.
It's not the same as it used to be.
And then that's where we need the cost comparison too. Is, you know, what it would cost for do asphalt for that section.
That section, yeah. Sounds good. But as you say, we're getting late in the year to get all this done. Anything else from his report? All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.6, resolution 25-435, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives a memo for an update on the baseball field from Roshank and to your treasurer for information purposes. Discussion? Councillor Ryland, I'll ask you to decipher all those numbers. And
I've looked up them, but no, it's not.
Do we know whether we're any further ahead? We're in the positive, the negative?
If I did work like that when I was working, I wouldn't have had a job. That's, let me say that. But
yikes.
And without, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not. I just need it to be understandable and logical. So
does it look like we're in the red, 130,000? Plus possibly 63,000.
I don't want to put Carly on the spot.
Yes.
Maybe she's talked to her fan. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So 200,000, approximately.
He just wanted council to have this information with these two projects before he does the third quarter report, which will be coming in the next meeting or after.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor?
Put one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes. No, for that one, yes.
All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. To 17.7, resolution 25-436, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives a memo for an update on Herdville Road, Herdville Bridge, and Center Road from Roshan Cantilla Treasurer for information purposes. Discussion?
I just one question. I thought we didn't have to do that turtle nesting monitoring. I thought we got out of it.
No,
we did it early enough. Or
no.
We had ended up having to do it?
Yes.
Jesus, very good.
Any other questions?
No.
Can you find out about the Nord's grant? It's says here the total 90,000. I thought it was up, it had accumulated for 3 years and there was over 300,000.
Wasn't that used for a different project?
I don't know.
Wasn't it transferred at some point?
Initially, we're discussing that it was going to be used for center road, but then, let me see, is it in the, no, it's not in the, no. Center road.
But it was center, you're right, and then it was transferred to Herdville, and we even got the okay from the authorities that we could do that.
So just to find out where all the Nord's grant money went to and if this number should be greater than the 90,000.
Further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 20.1. Hope nobody was waiting for this one. Oh. Resolution 25-437, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas the Township of McKellar maintains a water collection shed at its transfer station, which is presently serviced by the Whisper River Orchestra, who have been the recipients of the associated funds. And whereas the Council of the Township of McKellar identifies the opportunity for these funds to benefit other local groups dedicated to community enrichment, therefore be resolved that effective November 1st, 2025, the responsibility for managing the water collection shed at the Township of McKellar transfer station shall be transitioned from the Whispering River Orchestra to a local community group selected by the council, and further directs the clerk to invite expressions of interest from local community groups and present the submissions to council for consideration at the regular meeting of October 21st, 2025. Discussion?
I think we should
get some background on this, Carla, first.
The Whispering River Orchestra are unable to maintain the bottle shed to the township's standard. They just don't have enough volunteers to do it as frequently as we need. So I would like direction from council whether or not you'd be interested in having more than one group take care of it moving forward. I know that was previous practice before, or if you wish to stay with just one group having it exclusively. I will let you know even before advertising expression of interest, I've had two charities already approach me to request the bottles, so, and I'm sure after another expression of interest there could be more, so I'm just wanting to gain whether you'd be interested in multiple again on a rotation that's predetermined, or just having it one exclusive charity.
So how, I can't remember the process, how Whispering River Orchestra, were that they were the only ones that had submitted an expression of interest?
I think so.
I think that's the reason why at that time. And
yeah.
If there's multiple groups, more the merrier.
Yeah.
Yes, as Carly said, more the merrier. But or I guess you said that. The question is, if it's rotating, sometimes it gets out of rotation, and you have a group that, like you say, we've been through this before. Firefighters have taken it on, well, one person in particular had taken it on, and then that stopped because all the firefighters didn't want to do it. And so then other groups were doing it, and some of them pulled back. It's just a matter of having consistency, make sure that they are doing it regularly. Belvedere Heights used to be in on it, and we had local people helping with that, but they had trouble getting people too. And so I guess the other question is in all of this, you know, how you determine you have a number of groups now interested. The financial situation is really not that important to us, knowing exactly, because we wouldn't know if it's a separate group. If it's actually the township doing it, then you would know the return from the bottles and cans. But we never did know what Whispering River was pocketing and how much they had to put into it. So we never saw any of their balance sheets. I'm just not sure how we keep track, or maybe we don't. don't need to, of how much money is actually being, I guess, arrived at, or by having that facility available. I think it's well used. My only concern is by going to different groups, they tend to start off strongly, and then they fade, and then you've got a problem maintaining it. There's been a suggestion that staff do it, and I don't know whether this is such a good idea or not, but the suggestion is there, and then that it be put into a fund so that different groups can draw from that fund for different local projects, community projects, as opposed to one particular group or a number of groups doing it. But again, you would take staff time to do it, and you'd have to keep records there of what is being taken in. So anyway, open to ideas. I guess you mentioned a couple charities interested. I know you don't have to reveal names. Are they local? Is it?
Yeah, one's the Dynamic Snow Riders, and the other is McDougal School.
Okay.
Another one that came to mind, which, because we weren't discussing it at the time, was...